Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Readings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Fort Stockton Pioneer for Thursday, December 15th, 2022. Hospital District Passes with Ease by Nathan Heuer. Pecos County Memorial Hospital will soon begin its transition to a hospital district after a significant majority of county voters decided to approve the change during the December 10th special election. Out of 1,041 voters in the county that participated in the election, 81% were in favor of the hospital district being created. This is a really historic moment for Pecos County, Betsy Briscoe said at Monday commissioners meeting. Pecos County Judge Joe Schuster added that the margin of victory was a pleasant surprise and one that bodes well for the equality of life, as well as the economy of Pecos County residents. This is probably the biggest thing to happen in Pecos County in many years. This is history-making, he said. The margin was astounding. I figured somewhere between 60-40. People took it to heart, and they did what was the right thing for Pecos County. The election results will be canvassed next week, according to Schuster. The transition to a hospital district will begin with 5 temporary board of directors, beginning terms until the upcoming May election. The directors, which were revealed on the hospital district petition before the hospital district election was set in motion, will be Rebecca Dias, Sabrina Reese, Laura McKenzie, Rosalie Sullivan, and Armando Mandahano. Each temporary district board member is currently on the Pecos County Memorial Hospital Board. Following the May election, elected board members will serve 2-year terms. Board members residing in Precinct 2 and 4 will serve an initial 1-year term to stagger the election seats that will be voted on in the future. The county will continue to fund the hospital through 2023 by way of tax rate and use of fund balance. The hospital's budget is currently projected to be at $4.5 million deficit for 2023. The county is funding us about $5 million and the deficit budget is about $4.5 million, she said. With current valuation projections, the hospital district's tax rate, which will be set in September, will be in the ballpark of 22 cents, a 12.5-cent increase per $100, following the county's approximately 9.5-cent decrease beginning in 2024. Property owners and businesses residing inside the Pecos County Hospital District boundaries will see an increase in their taxes when they are due in January of 2024. Community invited to Christmas Eve service. The congregation of St. Stephen's Episcopal Church invites everyone to attend Christmas Eve Eucharistic service at 5 o'clock p.m. The evening Christmas Eve service will be in place of a service on Christmas Day. The church is located across from historic Comanche Springs Swimming Pool. All are welcome. Services are led every Sunday at 5 p.m. at St. Stephen's by the Reverend Michael Wallens, or the new curate, the Reverend Katie Hudek. The priests share in serving the Episcopal churches as part of the border ministries of the Diocese of the Rio Grande. Bible study is held at 4 p.m. each Sunday. People interested in learning how the messages in the Bible relate to their daily lives are invited to the Bible study. All are welcome at the Episcopal Church. Visit the church's website to find out more. County renews contract with AirMed Care Network by Sean Yorks. Nobody wants to be airlifted out of town for a medical emergency, and the cost can skyrocket if individuals don't have a plan in place. That's the idea behind AirMed Services, which is a program Pecos County and many other counties in Texas belong to. Anybody who joins the service for $55 per year will have their emergency flight paid for if the flight originates from a pickup location in Pecos, Brewer, Terrell, Crockett, Crane, Ward, Reeves, or Jeff Davis counties. The Pecos County Commissioner's Court on December 12th renewed its contract for services in 2023. This is a blanket policy with the county that we pay each year, said Joe Schuster. Every citizen in Pecos County is covered. Schuster has the forms to sign up for the service at the county judge's office and said that anybody who signs up would not have to pay the high cost of transport. If a Pecos County resident does not sign up, the transport service will charge their individual health insurance or Medicare for payment, then charge the individual for the remaining costs. They will not come after you individually for the remainder of that bill if you sign up. It's an insurance policy for all of Pecos County. It's a lifesaver for a lot of people. On Friday, December 16th, the Joy Run will be held at Focused Care at Fort Stockton, located at 501 Sycamore. The Joy Run is an annual delivery of gifts to residents by the Fort Stockton Chamber of Commerce. Meet at Focused at 6 p.m. to bring joy to all the residents by handing out gifts, visiting, and singing carols. The Glitzy Brew Pictures with Santa and the Grinch will be held on Saturday, December 17th from 11 to 3 at the Glitzy Brew Coffee Shop in Fort Stockton. The Fort Stockton Community Theater will host the screening of Elf from 7 to 9 p.m. on Saturday, December 17th. The Community Theater will show It's a Wonderful Life on Tuesday, December 20th from 7 to 9 p.m. BBT builds fiber optic connectivity in Crane. BBT, a community-based provider, is proud to continue investing in Crane and plans to offer fiber internet connectivity beginning in 2023. This will allow Crane residents and businesses to connect to high-performance fiber optic technology and limitless opportunities. BBT's advanced telecommunication services enable communities to learn and work from home, attend telehealth appointments, and more. With engineering and construction permitting scheduled for completion by mid-2023, BBT plans to invest $2 million in the city of Crane. When complete, there will be 1,500 fiber-served businesses and residential locations. Business and economic growth are dependent on fast, reliable connectivity. Health and medical services share information and resources that can be life-saving. Fiber-fed communication systems deliver information on weather, emergency alerts, and critical safety updates. In addition, a fiber connection is essential for education, telemedicine, and community economic development. BBT is using fiber optic technology to supply scalable, long-lasting connectivity and empowering digital equity throughout the 25 communities they serve. For more information, call 800-592-4781 or learn more at bigben.com. County approves aerial hunting bid by Sean Yorks. Pecos County's expansive landscape requires extensive measures when it comes to game management, and the County Commissioner's Court awarded a bid to hunt down and manage game and nuisance animals across the county through the United States Department of Agriculture Wildlife Services. Concho Aviation of Sterling City and Trans-Pecos Aviation of Fort Stockton submitted bids, with Concho Aviation awarded the bid at a cost of $360 per flight hour, with a minimum of 2.5 flight hours per day using an R-22 helicopter. In its bid, Concho Aviation's Jeff Hill and Kathy McIntyre said if the terrain required a larger R-44 aircraft, the charge would be $600 per flight. Concho would not charge the county for mileage or hotel stays. Trans-Pecos Aviation would be asked to provide the service if Concho was not available. Commissioner Mickey Jack Perry said that Concho Aviation had several pilots and helicopters. They're able to respond immediately in most cases. I think that's something to consider. Looking at the price, Concho has a better rate, although they're a half hour more on the minimum. But they're not going to charge us mileage or motel. I just like the fact that they have more choppers and more people available. Perry made the motion to accept Concho's bid and added that if Concho wasn't available, Trans-Pecos would be asked to provide the service. Fort Stockton Police Officer Honored for Life-Saving Effort by Sean Yorks. The life of a police officer can be dangerous, but it can also be rewarding, especially when officers are able to save lives. for Stockton Police Department Patrol Officer Jessica Sherrill learned that firsthand on November 14th. Officer Sherrill responded to a call in the 1400 block of North Oklahoma that evening, where she found a male subject not breathing and with no pulse. Without hesitation, she initiated life-saving chest compression measures on the male subject and continued to do so for several minutes. Officer Sherrill was able to perform chest compression successfully, resulting in the male subject showing signs of life. She continued the measures until she was relieved by emergency medical personnel. Sherrill received a life-saving ribbon and recognition from the city council. The ribbon was pinned to her uniform by her mother. Officer Sherrill's determined efforts, initiative, and performance under stress resulted in the saving of a life. Her unselfish actions and courageous service reflect great credit upon herself and in keeping with the greatest traditions of the police department. Sherrill was nominated for the award by Sergeant Enrique Irigoyen for Stockton Mayor Chris Alexander presented the award to her, to Sherrill, adding that he was very honored to present the award. Trio earned all-region honor. A trio of Fort Stockton High School band members were named to the Association of Texas Small School Bands, Region 6. The three students that earned the honors are Eileen Garcia, Symphonic Band, Christian Rodriguez, Symphonic Band, Fernando Corrales, First Chair, Honor Band. Rodriguez and Corrales will also have an opportunity to advance to the ATSSB All-State Band on January 7th. The trio of Fort Stockton students will participate in the high school All-Region Band Concert at Big Spring High School beginning at 3 p.m. on Saturday, January 14th.
Hundreds attend Lighted Christmas Parade. The Jesus is the Sweetest float prepared by the Nanatees Learning Center was selected as the top entry in Monday night's annual Lighted Christmas Parade, sponsored by the Monahans Chamber of Commerce. This year's parade theme was Christmas in Candyland and attracted 34 entries. Parade goers were treated to a free hot cocoa bar hosted by First Baptist Church in the church parking lot. The second place prize went to Transformative Leadership Academy. Flippin' Out West Texas took third place honors, while the Delcom float was selected as honorable mention. Pecos man dies in crash near Barstow. According to the initial report by Texas Department of Public Safety media officer Stephen Blanco, Christopher E. Ortiz, age 19, of Pecos, died in an accident on Interstate 20, 7 miles west of Barstow, around 10:15 p.m. on Friday, December 2nd. Ortiz was driving a 2003 Ford Explorer westbound on I-20 when, for unknown reasons, veered into the center median. Ortiz entered a side skid and rolled over. He was not wearing a seatbelt and was ejected from the vehicle. Ortiz was pronounced dead at the scene by Ward County Justice of the Peace Danny Bustos. The report noted weather conditions were clear and dry at the time of the crash. The crash was investigated by Trooper Daniel Leva of Monahans. Christmas and Chili Market, a success. With a full parking lot and over 90 vendors displaying merchandise ranging from all sorts of food and gifts for any age and preference, around 700 people attended the 16th annual Christmas and Chili Market and Arts and Crafts Show. The event was held last Saturday at the Ward County Event Center and attracted visitors from several area towns as well as local residents. Several kids visited with Santa, as well as lots of folks toured the walk through Bethlehem. Quote, "The annual chili market was a huge success. We received lots of compliments on the quality of the vendors and the setup of the event. Also, the vendors were very pleased with the facility and organization of the event. We are looking forward to next year," Teresa Burnett, director of the Monahans Chamber of Commerce, said. Angel trees help kids in need. The story was written by Jan Cranfield. The Ward County Angel Tree Project is a program inherited by Tejas Bank from Ward County Greater Works. The program was instituted several years ago by the Greater Works and is set up to help families who need help with Christmas presents in the form of clothing only, no toys, for their families. The angel trees are set up at Tejas Bank, American Momentum Bank, Citibank, Westex Credit Union, and Complex Community Federal Credit Union, and Burke's Outlet. Each tree has angels hanging on the tree, which are number-coded for a specific child. The code tells the child's gender, age, and sizes. Anyone wanting to help these families can stop by one of the participating banks, pick an angel, one or more, and purchase clothing items for that specific child. Clothing can be shirts, pants, PJs, underwear, coats, jackets, sweaters, shoes, socks, etc. Wrapped or unwrapped gifts may be dropped off at any of the participating businesses. Quote, "The program strives to keep and teach the concept of giving, caring, and sharing to our younger generation," Faith Wilson, spokesperson for the bank project, said. The youngest person to adopt an angel was a 6-year-old who wanted to make sure another child had something nice for Christmas, as well as a company who adopted 6 families for gifts. The annual project starts accepting applications around the 1st of November and continues accepting applications through the month of November. The Angel Tree Project requests gifts of clothing only because children need clothing as well as toys. Toys for Tots is the community organization accepting donations of toys for families in need to help give their kids a happy Christmas. Donations are being accepted until December 9th, so adopt an angel and make a child smile for Christmas. Davis's path to a career takes winding road. The story was written by Jan Cranfield. Allie Jolene Balco, the oldest of 4, was born in Canyon to Reverend Allie and Lanita Balco. The family moved to the Monahans area before her senior year of high school in 1991. Quote, "Having a preacher as a father, we moved every 3 to 5 years. My dad used to say he had some gypsy blood running through his body," Davis said. Reverend Balco became the preacher at the First Baptist Church in Wicket, and the family settled down. The summer before her senior year was a turning point in Davis's life. Quote, "A friend and I went to the swimming pool one day, and this boy that had a crush on me was there and insisted on paying our way into the pool, even though I protested," Davis laughed. "From that day on, he told everyone that he was my boyfriend, even though it was the farthest thing from the truth. He would come over to my house and just hang out. One day, a friend of his, Roy Davis, came by my house looking for him. Well, it was eyes locked across the room, and my life path was carved out. I told my mom later that night, 'I'm going to marry him.'" End quote. Davis graduated in May of 1992, and she and Roy were married in July. The young couple bought a mobile home, which they parked on a rented lot in Thorntonville, and Davis enrolled in college. They lived there for a year until a new landowner told them that they had to park their mobile home somewhere else. They moved their home to a lot belonging to Roy's family in Wicket and moved on with their lives. Roy was working for an oil company, and Allie spent the next 2 years attending the Odessa College Extension campus in Piute, taking night classes, driving back and forth from Wicket to Piute. During this time, she also worked part-time for Continental AMSCO until the company moved out of town, and then she started as a substitute teacher for the school system and volunteered at the library at Gensler Elementary before it closed. Davis needed to get all her basic courses at Odessa College before moving on to UTPB, which she did during the 2 years of night classes at OC Piute. Originally, Davis had planned to enter the radiology program at Odessa College, but they turned her down and said she could reapply later. Quote, "As one door closed, another opened. I was granted a substantial scholarship from University of Texas of the Permian Basin, but the scholarships were only available for certain subjects, English and history. Luckily, I enjoy both subjects," Davis said. At that time, UTPB was a two-year school. All basics were taken at Odessa College, and then you went on to UTPB to complete your degree. So I graduated from UTPB in 1997 with a Bachelor of Arts degree in English with a minor in history, Davis said. Davis's daughter, Holly, was born during her senior year of college. Quote, "I took a reduced class schedule the last semester of school, only two classes, which were some of the very first online classes offered. But I still had to be present and on campus for certain classes. Holly was born in January of 1996, and the two-class schedule put me behind, so I had to take an extra semester to graduate," Davis said. The delay put Davis's graduation off until December of 1997. Quote, "When I graduated, I was working part-time at City Hall in Wicket as assistant secretary. There was a lady I had gone to school with who was teaching for the Pecos Barstow Toya ISD, and she wanted to leave her teaching job, but the administration would not let her out of her contract. The 45-day contract declining time had expired, unless she found a replacement person for her job, so she contacted me. I told her I wasn't interested. Then the assistant principal called. I told him I wasn't interested," Davis said. Davis received a third call from the assistant principal about 2 weeks later. Quote, "By this time, after three calls to talk me into taking the job, I decided it was a sign I was supposed to follow, but I had absolutely no idea what I was doing because I had never considered teaching as a profession," Davis said. Davis started the job a week late, which was teaching sixth grade at Lamar Elementary for the PBTISD. Quote, "It was an absolutely horrible experience. I wanted to quit at the end of the first semester, but Roy told me I couldn't let those little kids rule my life. He told me to stick it out until the end of the year, and if I still wanted to quit, to do it then," Davis said. At the end of that school year, the PBTISD administration offered Davis a position at junior high, teaching eighth grade. She interviewed and got the job, but never taught eighth grade, because during the summer, a position opened up at the high school. Quote, "They called me during the summer and offered me a position at Pecos High School teaching freshman English," Davis said. Davis spent 4 years teaching freshman English and then was moved up to department chair and taught English 3. A total of 7 years was devoted to teaching at the PBTISD. Quote, "I felt as though I had reached my limit of advancement after 7 years with the Pecos High School and needed a challenge," Davis said. A position opened up at Grand Falls, where Roy had gone to school, so Davis interviewed for the 8th grade English class position. Quote, "When I did the interview, the principal told me they had an 8th grade class of 12 students that no one could do anything with. So that was my challenge," Davis laughed. "I was there for 3 years, and I had 100% pass rate on the tax test, starting with that 8th grade class," Davis said. Some personnel issues with the Grand Falls school prompted Davis to walk into Kelly Riley's office with a resume in hand and ask for an interview for a position at Monahans High School. Davis had an exemplary teaching record, but didn't get the exact position she applied for. A position was made for her, and she became a traveling teacher, meaning she taught a class at Walker Junior High, a class at Monahan's Education Center, and a class at the high school. Davis retained the schedule for 2 years. Quote, I asked for a permanent classroom position after 2 years of bouncing from school to school and was assigned a position teaching English at high school, where I've spent the last 13 years, Davis said. Davis received her master's degree in library and information science in 2017 from Texas Woman's University at Denton that allowed her to move from the high school English classroom to the position of librarian at Walker Junior High. Quote, I love being a librarian. I have always loved books, so I am in my element here. One of the students called me the library lady a few days ago. It made me smile, Davis said. Working as a teacher for the school gives Davis and her family the free time to pursue another of her passions, which is traveling. Quote, when I was growing up, as I have said, we moved a lot, and even though I craved stability, I had some of my dad's gypsy blood running through my veins. So, to satisfy that need, my family, Roy, the girls, when they were in school, and myself, spent summers traveling. We have visited the Smithsonian, many national parks, such as the Grand Canyon and the Petrified Forest, and many beautiful places. Roy and I plan to eventually visit every national park, Davis said. Along with being a librarian, wife, mother, and grandmother, Davis spends time playing multiple musical instruments, including the piano, saxophone, flute, bells, writing poetry, reading, canning fruits and vegetables in the summer. Another facet of Davis's life now includes taking care of the animals they acquired a few years ago when she and Roy had plans to travel around the country with a petting zoo for kids. These plans were seriously interrupted when Roy had a heart attack in 2020. Quote, he didn't have any blockages, but the doctor told us he has excessive iron in his blood that could possibly be the factor in the plaque buildup in his veins, Davis said. Roy had 4 months of rehabilitation, and the animals became his form of therapy. End quote. The animals who hold a special place in the Davis's heart include a standard poodle named Scarlet, a mini donkey, 2 horses, 11 chickens, and 4 mini goats. Also high on the Davis's list of things to do is spending time with her daughter Holly's family. Holly has 2 daughters and works as a postpartum nurse at Medical Center Hospital. Davis's younger daughter, Mallory, gives them a reason to travel since she lives in Tennessee and plans to be a nautical archaeologist. Quote, we just recently traveled to see Mallory and made a swing up through Vermont to see the fall foliage. It was absolutely beautiful, Davis said. Throughout the years, through ups and downs of life, I have come to the realization that every single day should be enjoyed to the fullest. Don't waste any precious time. Be together and enjoy your time together. Try to find something about each day to enjoy and smile about, Davis said. Season ends for Boys in Green. The story was written by Armando Flores. For the 2nd week in a row, the Monahans Lobos were the home team at the historic Mustang Bowl in Sweetwater. This week, the Lobos faced off against the Glen Rose Tigers, the No. 3 ranked team in the Harris Readings Weekly. The Tigers were a heavy favorite over Monahans entering the game, and they quickly flexed their muscle early on in the game to build a 49-7 lead at halftime, then added 2 more scores in the second half as they scored on all but 1 possession to eliminate the Lobos from the playoffs 62-14. Monahan's athletic director and head football coach Fred Stahl said, quote, our goal was to control the football game and not let Glen Rose dictate the flow of the game. Glen Rose proved on Friday that they are a really good football team. Our players fought the entire game, Unfortunately, we came up short.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Far West Texas. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.